there's anyone over there in line trying to give PayPal, Deacon Posada, is there anyone over there now trying to do PayPal? Okay. She's showing them how to go to do texting. Good. I was just going to give you the instructions for texting. And it's right there on the screen. Text giving is simple, fast, and secure. Given it shall be given. All you have to do if you have a smartphone, sometimes it's a dumb phone, but nevertheless, it's a phone. Amen? All you got to do is go on here, and everyone pretty much knows how to text. Text to 73256. Text these letters and numbers. TFTLUKE 638. That stands for Threshing Floor Tabernacle, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. In that passage it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. It's just a way of us saying thank you and giving you a word to stand on concerning you being blessed. You don't have to be shy in giving. You don't have to say, well, I'm giving, but I don't expect anything in return. Well, that's not faith. We don't give just to get. It's more better to give than it is to get. But in our giving, God has made promises to us, and God does not make a promise to us if he doesn't, if he's not going to do it. And he's not going to make us a promise if he thinks that we're not going to have the faith to believe him to bring it to pass. I just read to you out of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your crops or your increase. That's dealing with tithes. It's also dealing with first fruits, another offering that you present to the Lord during the course of the year. But here's the thing. What's the thing? It says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, God has a promise on the other side of what he's asking you to do. He will never ask you to do anything that's going to put you in jeopardy. He will only ask you to do those things that are going to put you in position of being blessed and prosperous as the people of God. It's not all about material things, but prosperity is not limited to material things. Prosperity could be peace for some. There are many people now that operate with the spirit of emotional imbalance. By that I mean this. You know people, and I'm not saying that to mock or criticize. It's just a living reality, the world that we live in. We know people who deal with schizophrenia. Anyone ever know of anyone? We had a sister who dealt with that thing. We have people who deal with bipolar disorder, which is similar, if you will. And they're heavily medicated in the process. It's a mental disorder, as they would call it, if you will. But people can be healed and be made whole of that. Amen? I believe Jesus can heal us from those things. But people may be plagued with various different things. God is able to heal and to deliver. He makes a promise. He says in his word. What does his word say? He was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Well, Jesus didn't just undergo that beating, that bruising, that hanging, that being crucified on the cross just for us to have eternal life. He's added some benefits for the here and now as well. Amen? And so, you know, God has promised benefits for us to take hold of. The psalmist even said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, because sometimes stuff comes bubbling up in my spirit, and then it's like, okay, let me wait for clarity to come. Some of you might get impatient with that, but that's on you, not on me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He expects you to believe him for something good. He doesn't make promises just for the sake of. He expects us to believe it and to receive it and to make it our own. How do we do that? You take the word for what it says, and you say, this word is not just a word. This word is my word. This is God talking to me. I make this word my own. Now, I know what I'm feeling like on the inside. Listen to me because I'm teaching right now. I know what I'm feeling like on the inside. But God's word says something better than what I'm feeling. So I'm going to take God at his word. I'm going to make it my own. And then I'm going to combat that ill feeling with God's word. Because his word is like laughter. It's medicine for the heart. It will bless you. And so you hold fast to it. You make it your own. And then you say, okay, which one is greater in my life? God's word or this illness and this affliction that I'm dealing with? This mental order, this mental instability that which one is greater? Is it God's word? Now, my mental disorder, my schizophrenia, my, if you will, bipolar disorder did not create the entire universe, but God's word did. God says in Psalms 107, verse 20, he says he sent forth his word to heal them and deliver them from destruction. He sent it. You know how you send a mail? You know, the old style, not email. You go and you put it in the mail and it gets from one place to the other. Well, God packaged his word up in heaven, released it here in the earth, sent it down for us to just simply take it and believe in it. Now, which one is greater? Is his word or is it my current situation or circumstance? If we believe that our circumstance is greater than God's word, we have just minimized God and we have made him less than who he is. If anything that you deal with or you go through is greater than God, it must have the ability to say, let there be light, and there's light. And then sling the stars into the sky and they all come into orderly arrangement. Have you heard about scientists? They just discovered, they say they've discovered a place that has seven planets, a star with a system that has seven planets like the planet Earth. And so they're thinking that there's more life out there. I tell you, there's demons out there. We could help NASA out a big, you know, we can help them out big time. We could give them shortcuts. So, which one is greater? Because my situation has to have been able to outdo what God has already done in order for my situation to be greater than God or God's word. Does that make sense to you? 2 + 2 = 4, but I hope you stick with me. And so if God's word is greater than what you face, deal with, or experiencing, put God's word on it now. Not just make it your own, but if it's a cold, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I rebuke you by the authority of God's word, and I release his healing power into this physical body in the name of Jesus. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He didn't go through all of that just for me to remain the same way that I've been. No, he came that I may have life and have it more abundantly. I receive the abundant life. If I'm poor, helpless, hopeless, without a job, without any money, if I'm in that state, I go to his word. Is his word greater than my poverty? Can my poverty create the earth? Can my poverty hold the universe within his own hands? Can my poverty or situation hold the entire universe in place, if you will? The Bible says he created all things, and in him all things are held together. All things consist of him, through him, and to him are all things. That's what the Bible teaches us. Is my situation greater than that? Can it outdo God? If it cannot outdo God, then let me put God's word on the situation. Because the same word that created the entire universe, the same power and authority of that word that holds everything together, that word is given to me. It's my word. Speak it. Stand on it. Wait on it. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Why are we getting weaker if we're waiting on God? They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. Why are we down when we should be mounting up? Hey, get ready to flap your wings. get ready to soar. Are you listening to me? This is making God's word our own. Pastor Lucia did a great demonstration before you on Friday night with the source at Yahweh night, and she had the big sword and she had the little butter knife and a little steak knife, if you will. And you know, she was describing the each one and how they fit into the word that she was delivering. And I'm looking and I'm like, yeah, that's true. And that's good. And then so then I go, because God will begin to speak to you and he will begin to feed you off of something that has been said, and it will mean something to you that nobody can take away from you. And so I start looking at those swords and I start looking at, well, yeah, that one's big. So, you know, the thing about it is, as big as it is, it wasn't a sharp sword, not a real sharp one, but as big as it is, it could do damage on human work. I mean, that's one of those swords that you'd have to use on Brother Joshua. The butter knife is one of those knives that you'd have to use on, who's the youngest kid in here? Someone like little Kelly Rose. And then the steak, now please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying about abusing children or anything like that. Just stay with me. You know, and then the other one you can use on like Tina, if you will. Those are natural things that you can use, and you can hurt human beings. I even, you know, went and I traveled down that way too. I believe in the Second Amendment, we have the right to bear arms. Hallelujah. For our protection, if you will. And if you don't have an arm, that's okay. Praise God. If you have an arm, you know, you only use it to protect you and your household, your family. When you feel like you're threatened, you have something to come at them with. Bubba, don't come in here. I'm warning you. You know, you come in here, you're going to get... You're going to walk in, but you ain't going to walk out. They're going to carry you out. But anyways, you know, it's like those things are natural things, and we can use them against human beings. They will hurt human beings, but they won't hurt spiritual beings. They won't hurt demons. You can take that sword and swing all you want. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, I'm really chopping the devil up. You ain't chopping nothing up. You're just swinging at air. Demons are disembodied spirits that have eternity in them. We have eternity in us. It's just a matter of where we're going to spend eternity. Because we receive Jesus, we'll spend eternity with him. So, we can take the natural. You can take a gun, and I'm not saying anything, but, you know, if I fired it over in that direction, it could hit Brother Tim and hurt him. But if I try and fire at a demon, that demon will look at me like I'm crazy. What's that supposed to do? The thing just goes right through him. He doesn't have a body, and he doesn't bleed. So what can we use against the devil that'll put him in check and keep him in check? This is why we have to have the word. That same word that created all that we see is that same word that will drive out devils. The power and the authority of God's word, written and spoken. Rhema and Logos. It's for our benefit. Put the word on your situation. If you don't have a job, I declare, I decree in Jesus' name that opportunity shall open up before me, that I shall go into a place and I shall apply to that place, and that place is going to show me favor, and they're going to hire me in Jesus' name. I claim this job for me. What if it doesn't work? Hey, what you got to lose? What do you have to lose? Absolutely nothing. Can you bring it down just a little bit? Not slow, just, you know, bring it down the volume. What do you have to lose? Put God's word on it. That's what he gave us. He gave us his word. He gave us his name. He gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us angels. He's assigned them to us. This is in our arsenal. He says, if you walk in truth, Jesus says, sanctify them with the truth. John chapter 17, I think it's verse 17. And then he says, thy word is truth. So if we walk in truth, if we walk in righteousness, a right standing, if we live by and proclaim the gospel of Jesus, if we walk by faith and not by sight, our faith is also like a shield where it can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, because a lot of discouragement is simply a demon power shooting arrows of discouragement and depression against you, trying to wear you down, because that's his job in these last days, is to wear out the saints. How does he wear it out? By trying to hinder and delay the plan and purpose of God from being done, so that we give over to the situations rather than giving over to the word of God. And so that's his ploy, his scheme, device. He's been exposed. He wants to wear down the saints. But we take that armor. We take faith. Devil, is that the best you got? I'm not going to sit here and mope and cry and be in sorrow and despair. No, I'm going to preach myself happy. You don't have to be ordained to preach. You've been called to preach. Go preach the gospel. Proclaim it. Hallelujah. Preach it to yourself first. Make sure you believe what you believe. Amen. Preach this gospel. Shield of faith, whereby you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Salvation. Know that you're saved. Know that you 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 know that you're saved. One of the earliest things that they taught me after now 33 years in the Lord today, one of the first things they taught me is, you know, the enemy is going to try and talk you out of believing God and believing God's word. He did it in the beginning with Adam and Eve. He got Eve to doubt God's word. Hath God said, same thing he tries to do with us. Hath God said, is that really true? Try and get us to doubt. Because if we doubt, it's just like going to the ground that you planted seed in, going to that very area and digging up and pulling that seed out of the ground, giving it no chance or opportunity to grow. We uproot what has been firmly planted. So we never want to doubt. Helmet as a salvation. Helmet of salvation. Salvation as a helmet. Protect the mind. The covering for the mind, so that it doesn't get bombarded with stuff. You know, it's enough. It'd be wonderful if God had gave us a new mind. We got a new spirit. We got a born-again spirit. But he didn't give us a new mind, and he did not give us a new body. We have one reserved for us in heaven, but we don't have that yet. And so with the mind, the only thing we can do is renew it. And that means to renovate it altogether. Thank you. Thank you. Let's do one of these. That better? Is it lined up? All right. For the camera people, I'm too just real. So, helmet of salvation, guarding the mind. We have to renew this mind daily. Otherwise, it drifts into old thoughts. We have to put it in check. Whereas one time, our thoughts used to run wild and free, unrestrained, venturing into various areas. We could be sitting in the seat and have traveled all around the world and nobody knows it but us, because we're traveling in the mind. Well, now there's a new sheriff in charge. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. But see, even as Lord, he's not a dictator or a tyrant, or a, as the parable of the talents and the parable of the what was it? It was talents, and then it was the other one. What's the other one? Anybody read their Bibles? Huh? Lost, not the lost coin, but in one instance he teaches about the talents, and then in the other one he teaches, let me go on, I'll find it. But they felt like he was a hard taskmaster. Lord, I knew you to be a hard taskmaster, reaping what you have not sown. You know, just taking what's not rightfully yours. And you know what the Lord said to that servant? He said, you wicked, lazy servant. If you knew this about me, why didn't you take the money and deposit it with bankers? At least at my coming, I could get interest. And so we have that mindset. He's hard. No, he's not hard. So when he comes in as Lord, he is Lord. But if we think that he's going to be that hard taskmaster, that this is a whip, okay? Brother Joshua, let me use you. Turn around.
Ah, you filthy, slothful servant. Get to work. Get to work. Get to work.
If you think Jesus is going to do that to you,
pray. Read your Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Get on your knees and pray. Fast. Give your tithes. Give your...
If you think Jesus is going to do that, you're serving the wrong master. He ain't going to do that to you. He ain't going to do that to you. Well, what is he going to do? He's going to teach you. And then because you have a new nature, you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you now to help you, he's going to let you make that wise decision to obey him. Amen. This is what's wrong with many. They wait on God to make them do something, and God is like, no, you're going to do this on your own. With my strength, with my anointing, with my ability and my power, you're going to do it. You got to have a want to. You got to have a will to. You got to have a, I am going to do this. Hallelujah. I didn't hurt you, did I, Brother Josh? Helmet of salvation, shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Is the word of God. This is what you use. This is what you use. This works not only in the natural, but it works in the spirit, because this word is spirit and this word is life. Those are not my words. Those are Jesus' words. This is the importance of having God's word in our heart, so we can make it work in here. We can make it work here. And we can make it work in the unseen realm. They're going to think I'm crazy. You already, you know, they already think you're crazy. They think you're crazy because you go to church. Some of y'all, people tell you stuff about, you know, out of order and stuff. It's like, hey, if it's in the Bible, do it. Praise God. If the Bible says prophesy, prophesy. If the Bible says speak in new tongues, speak in new tongues. If the Bible says lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover, lay hands on the sick and watch the sick recover. Hallelujah. If the Bible says you're blessed, don't walk around like you're cursed. If the Bible says that you are favored, receive the favor, walk in the favor, work the favor. You know how favor works? This is how favor works. Favor works where they didn't. You went on an interview, and they said they didn't want to hire you. So you went on home. Next thing you know, you're getting a phone call. We know we said we didn't want to hire you, but all of a sudden we had a change of heart and a change of mind. So can you start? Favor is like this. People that are against you all of a sudden helping you.
Favor is taking an unfavorable condition, situation, circumstance, and making it favorable for you.
It's not just good things happening to you. That can happen to anybody. God's favor, I'm telling you, it's the kind of favor that you don't even, I don't even deserve. I don't deserve any of it, but God has just favored me.
I don't know why God did it for them. Ask them, they'll probably tell you the same thing. I don't know why God did it for me either, but I tell you what, it's his favor.
And God does not play favorites. What he does for one, he will do for all. It just may be something different because you're a different individual. You have different likes, different ambitions, different goals, and different ideas. But it'll be in a situation where it would not work for you except God stepped in and did something. Yeah. Anytime you go for an interview before a panel of five, your interview is over with within 15 minutes. And then they call you up and say, we want to offer you the job. It's like, the interview went good. I saw that, but it just happened so fast. And, you know, fast interviews are sometimes not good news. But then they called up and said, you know, we want to offer you the job. A couple of months later, you go over to the county office and the guy comes up and tell you who was on the interview panel. Hey, you want to know why you're, see, this is how God works. I didn't ask nobody. I didn't ask anyone. But the guy came up, you want to know why your interview went so fast? Well, you know, I was thinking about that, why it went so fast. He says, the reason it went so fast is because you answered all of our questions in your opening statement. That was favor, because you know what I did before I went in that interview? I prayed in the Holy Ghost from the time I got up to get myself ready to the time I was in that lobby waiting for the interview to start. I was praying in tongues. When I got in there, I was pumped. This is why all the questions were answered, because I was pumped by the Holy Ghost. It's favor. I went in there making less than what I made before, but I went out of there making double what I made. That's favor. Not trying to keep you long, but we do want to help you. If we're not helping people, we are in the wrong business. If we're not, you know, in the kingdom of God. And it's not just like self-help type stuff or stuff you can get anywhere. It's giving you Jesus. It's giving you God's word. And you got to work this word. You work it, you'll see the results. Hallelujah. You work the word, you will see results that come as a result of the word that you work. Hallelujah. You know, you're farmers. You're farmers. The only thing is you sow the word. Know the promises of God and speak them over your life. You hear us quoting scriptures all the time. Grab them and then go in the Bible for yourself and pull some out, extract some for yourself. The majority of the scriptures that I know, I learned by reading through the word of God. And it's like, ooh, praise God. That's praise God. And then some of it is like, I heard that preacher say that before. That's actually in the Bible. Let me take that. It sounded good when they said it. So let me take it and make it my own now. The word is your treasure. Didn't Paul say we have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels? We got the word and we got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we got work to do. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's get ready to honor the Master. Yes, go ahead. He's jealous for me. Blows like a hurricane and I'm a tree. Let me share this with you. A strong man is one who is very powerful and fully armed to protect his goods, whatever they may be. As long as he is in control, his goods are at peace. To disturb that peace and take the goods, it will take someone or something stronger than the strong man and his arsenal in order to do so. Jesus said in the next verse, when a stronger one comes, he'll overcome the strong man and take his armor that he trusted in and divide the spoils. To the victor belong the spoils. This all came about as a result of Jesus casting out a devil and being accused of doing so by the power of Satan. He, Satan, is the strong man, and his goods are all of the unsaved in the earth. Jesus is the stronger than he, who has overcome Satan and stripped him of his armor. The palace is the earth of which Satan has been dethroned. The goods are the people under his influence. He roars like a lion, but is actually a little putty cat with a megaphone, as one of my pastors used to say. He, Satan, only has power over those who are weaker than he is. On our own, we are much weaker than he is, but we are not on our own if we have truly repented of our sins and received Jesus as our Lord. The greater one lives in us, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. We are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. If any man be in Christ, see 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The same power he executed over Satan and his devils while here on earth is the same power that lives within us because Jesus is in us. He lives in us by his Spirit, Holy Spirit. It's time to unleash the power. Unleash the power of healing within your spirit. It may be weak, wounded, and contaminated. And the soul, dealing with the mind, will, and emotions. And the body, sickness, illness, and affliction. In all areas, we are to be sanctified, strong in faith, pure in motives. Unleash the newness of life found only in Jesus. Unleash the boldness of spirit in contending for the faith. Unleash the favor and blessing of God over your life and family in all you do, that you may prosper, according to Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. You're not the victim any longer. You're the victor. To the victor belong the spoils. Go through those scriptures and ponder and meditate on it and speak it over your life and speak it until you feel it rising up within you. I know how I felt as I was writing this morning, typing it out, what have you. You feel a surge of power rising up within you. And it doesn't just rise up to fade away. It rises up to move you forward in Jesus' name. We may say strong statements like, no more weak Christians. The reason we say that is because we have so much at our disposal that really there's no excuse for being weak. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. It says that we are to bear the strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. But any good-natured person who's trying to nurture and uphold the weak will, in their heart and mind, want that weak person to get strong. The whole thing about discipleship is making us strong and determined, fixed and focused on the task that is at hand. Discipline, bringing everything into alignment in order to operate at our best. We see it in athletes. They work, I'll just say this word, strenuously. They give their all so that they can be their best. They don't wait to practice hard when they get out there on the field to run the race. They don't wait to really just exercise all of their muscles and stuff and shoot their best shots or throw their best punches when they are in the ring at a match. They do it in practice. They practice as if they are in the arena. They practice as if they are in the game. That's what causes them to excel to their best. Many times, and I know coming up and playing what little sports that I did play, we kind of reserved ourselves in practice in order to be ready for the game. But the ones who excelled were the ones who gave their all in practice, and then they excelled in the game. That was the thing about Michael Jordan and also Magic Johnson. The way they practiced was as if they were in the game. They were doing stuff, you know, greater stuff in practice. But it only caused them to be ready when they got in the game. Practice. Put it into. Don't wait till you have to. You know, exercise now. Don't wait till a crisis to pray. Be prayed up now. Don't wait till the situation is desperate and I need a word, 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 I need a word. And we're running all over for words. When we got 66 books in the Bible, hallelujah, plenty of word that the Holy Ghost can illuminate and speak to us and transform our lives. You go there to the conference and that. The Lord has a word for you, and the Lord says you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to do these wonderful things, and then you go back to doing the same thing you were doing before and get frustrated when the word doesn't come to pass. If God gives you a word, you go and prepare yourself. Make yourself ready for that word to come into fulfillment. Don't wait till the word. It's like, and then you're going to try and get ready. One of the things we're doing now, we've done even in the past, is working with leadership and all. And it's like, let's not wait till the crowds come to try and get it all together. Let's get it all together to be prepared when the crowds do come. Let's do it like we anticipate and expect the crowd. Amen? So with that being said, Father, we thank you for today. And we present these offerings before you in the name of Jesus. We worship you. And Jesus, you are our great high priest seated at the right hand of the Father. We worship you. Worship the Father with our heartfelt giving. Take our petitions and our requests, even as we prayed earlier and even pray now before the Father. We claim every promise of God. Yes and amen. We pray for those needing breakthroughs in finances, those that came forward for ministry. They've cast their cares on you. They've received whatever you gave them. Lord, turn situations around for your glory and for your honor. Cause this assembly to reflect the power and the authority of your word. That it's not just word only. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom is word and power. So let your power be unleashed in our midst, Lord. Let your power manifest greatly in the lives of your people, your sons and daughters. Let your power overpower all the power of the enemy that is working against us. That everything that comes against us will now be employed to work for us. And we are strengthened with all might and power by your spirit in our inner man. Father, for every person who needs a job, and we thank you for those that have received new jobs recently. We thank you for those that have received, Lord God, financial breakthroughs recently. We rejoice with them in Jesus' name. But for even others who need jobs, we say open that door of opportunity. This is a time and season of great opportunities for the church of the living God. We do well to take hold of it. Father, bless your people. Prosper them. turn their situations around. No matter how bad it is, no matter how difficult it may be, turn it around for your glory and honor and praise. Unleash your power, Lord God. Unleash your word. Unleash, Father. Turn situations around for good and for glory. Father, give breakthroughs for family members, their loved ones being saved. We call our sons and daughters back to their borders, back to their first love, back to salvation, back into right fellowship with you. We call them back in Jesus' name. Lord God, we say those that are poor, if there's any that are lacking, let their cabinets be filled. Let their refrigerators be filled, Lord God. Let finances come into their possession. Not in the far distant future, but even now in Jesus' name. Let miracles take place, Lord. Miracles, healings, signs, and wonders. Let them take place according to your word, according to the power of your word. We speak it and release it now. Father, station your angels around each and every one of us, that they watch over us, bear us up, lest we dash our foot against the stone, that they go before us and prepare the way and prepare the atmosphere, that they make things happen for your glory. Father, let these tithes and offerings be multiplied many times over. Let it be multiplied in the lives of your sons and daughters. It is you who gives us power to get wealth. We claim that in Jesus' name. Don't let the devil take nothing. Earnestly contend for the faith that has been given to the saints. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Master. Amen. Now let me speak the blessing over you and you can be released. Hallelujah. Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. Listen to this. This is a word and a vision. I got the word beacon. Everyone knows what a beacon is? Okay. The Lord showed me a lighthouse at the top of a hill in complete darkness. But I saw the light shining through the darkness bright. Stand tall, stand tall. If I can't be the light, the ships can't come in. They can't see without the light. Beacon, pole used as a standard set on the tops of mountains as a call to the people to assemble themselves for some great national purpose. Get ready, saints. Get ready, saints. Get ready. Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing that, Sister Teresa. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, you instructed Moses to instruct Aaron and his sons in how to bless your people. And I thank you, Master, that you entrusted unto men to command the blessing on your people. I take that position and authority right now. And as I do it, as you said in your word, that you will bless them. And so, the Lord our God bless you, and he will bless you. The Lord will keep you. He will make his face to shine upon you. He will lift up his countenance on you. And he will give you his peace. The name of the Lord is placed on you that he will bless you. And the Lord said when they did this, he told them to do it. And as they did it, he would bless them. So now receive the blessing and the favor of the Lord. Receive it now and let it work on your behalf from this moment forward. In Jesus' name. Everybody who agreed said amen.
Amen.
All right. Grace to you. We thank you for being here with us today. We love you. We'll be back here at the altar at 6 p.m. You're all welcome to come and fellowship with us at the altar as we seek the face of God. In Jesus' name, amen.